Part 13, The Kuzari Summons the Jew. Let's put ourselves in this context. Recall that initially, the Khazar king didn't even think to summon a Jew, because, and I quote, "The fact that the Jews are so small in number and universally despised proves that they must be wrong." As we'll see later on, after the rabbi's initial response, the Khazar king expresses a similar form of disdain for this response, and we'll see that in just a moment. But let's first take a look at the rabbi's initial response. This is in paragraph 11 on page 66, and I read, "The rabbi said to him, 'We believe in the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who took the Jews out of Egypt with great wonders and miracles, who sustained them in the desert, and who gave them the land of Canaan as their inheritance after he split both the Red Sea and the Jordan River with great miracles. This God sent Moshe to give his Torah, and later he sent thousands of prophets throughout history who exhorted the populace to follow the Torah and who taught about the great reward for those who observe it and the heavy punishment for those who violate it. We believe in everything written in the Torah, which contains a massive amount of information." So notice right away that the rabbi's response begins with the God of Abraham and does not begin with the God of creation. And the Khazar king immediately picks up on this, and he says in paragraph 12, "Said the Kuzari, 'I was correct in my original resolve not to query a Jew, because I knew that Jews have lost their connection to their past and have no depth of wisdom. This is no doubt a result of their history of destitution and misery, which has left them without any positive characteristics. You, Jews, should have said that you believe in a creator who organizes and oversees the universe and who created you and sustains you, and other such ideas which are universal to all religions. Those ideas are the real reasons to pursue truth and emulate the creator's righteousness and wisdom, and not the specific miracles you mentioned that happened during isolated periods.'" And in this criticism of the Khazar king, we once again note a certain unique aspect of Judaism over all of the three clerics that had been summoned before the rabbi. That is, the philosopher, the Muslim, and the Christian all believe in some kind of universal religious message for all mankind. The philosopher believes that philosophy is for all man, the Muslim believes that Islam is for all man, and the Christian believes that Christianity is for all man. It is only the Jew who seems to be extremely isolated in trying to point out that God is the God of the Jews, and our religious experience is for us alone. It's not meant to be shared with the rest of the world. This is something that initially is offensive to the Khazar king, especially because he's an outsider and is looking for an entree to have a religious experience and connection to God. And if you're telling me at the outset that Judaism is only for Jews, then that only reinforces any reason that I had not to consult Judaism in the first place. One of the things that's quite telling about this initial response of the rabbi is that what Reb Yehuda HaLevi has successfully done in this very short paragraph has been to actually answer the first question that Rashi asks in his Torah commentary. If you'll recall, the very first Rashi on Bereshis asks the question, why did the Torah start with the book of Genesis? Why was it necessary, if the Torah is a book of commandments, for it to start with an entire book relating the story beginning from creation, going into the flood, and then telling the story in great detail about the patriarchs, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the life of Yosef and his brothers, and how the Jewish people came down to Egypt? What does that all have to do with the commandments? The Torah, says Rashi, should have started with Exodus chapter 12, the words HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, this new month, the sanctification of the new moon. That should have been the very first verse of the Torah, if the Torah is a book of commandments. Now, I refer you to Rashi's response on Chumash, but I believe that if we look at this paragraph of the Kuzari as coming immediately after Rashi's question, I think Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi gives a very cogent answer. His answer is that the basis of all of the commandments that God gave to Moshe in the Torah is based upon, is predicated upon his relationships and his communications with the patriarchs that we find in the book of Bereishis, in the book of Genesis. In other words, in order for the mitzvahs of the four books to have meaning, to have texture, to have substance, and for us to understand the foundation of these commandments, we need to understand the covenant that God first made with the patriarchs in order for us to understand why the Torah was given to the Jewish people and the bases for so many of the mitzvot that he gave us when he gave us the Torah. But of course, the Khazar king doesn't understand that. He doesn't understand that the commandments of the Torah are predicated on very specific historical events that occurred to the Jewish people and the Jewish people alone. His initial understanding of religion in general is that it teaches universal concepts of goodness, of kindness, of charity, and so forth. And therefore, it's a very foreign concept for this pagan king to conceptualize that a god would command his people to do things that are commemorative of specific historical events that happened to them and that engender within them a spirit of godliness. And that's why he criticizes the king in paragraph 12, and that's why the rabbi has to come back in paragraph 13 on page 67 and try to defend the position that which he started with. And I'll read it for you. It says, the rabbi responded, what you're referring to, meaning when you say that I should have started with an account of the creation and how the creator created the world, what you're referring to is religion arrived at through logic and analysis. But because it is reached through those means, it is subject to much ambiguity. And that is why when you ask philosophers their opinion about religion, you find that they are unable to agree on one proper mode of conduct or on one philosophy. This is because philosophers base their religion on logical arguments, some of which are based on absolute fact, others that are not proven but seem reasonable, and others that are not even intellectually satisfying, let alone based on fact. I, on the other hand, speak of tangible events as the basis of our religion. Now, this point that the Kuzari is making, that the rabbi is making in the Kuzari, is that philosophy is extremely speculative, and that's why you'll find so many different schools of Greek philosophy, which were well known to Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the 12th century. But the point I believe that he's trying to make over here is that if we're going to be basing our religion on the story of creation and the creator himself, meaning we're going to go all the way back to the creation episode to understand what God expects of us, then by definition, we must be speculative for one very simple reason. No one was around. No one was living when God created the world. So how could God have communicated his wishes when there were no people to listen to that communication? If we're going to go back to the universal beginning, the big start of everything, when all of humanity and all of the world comes into existence, there's no one to listen to that communication because at the time of creation, no one's alive. It's only an evolutionary process where the first human being comes into existence, he begets children, and children have children, and so forth, that mankind evolves into civilization. And it's only at that point where mankind could be privy to a divine communication. So it makes no sense to start with the God of creation. It rather makes sense to start with a God who communicates at one point in history with a segment of human population. That's what Judaism is predicated upon. And when the rabbi presents it in that fashion, the king says, you know what? You're starting to make some more sense. And that's what he says in paragraph 14. Comes back the rabbi and says, not only is my argument cogent, and that's the reason why I started talking to you about a God who revealed himself to individuals after mankind had already been established on the world, in this world, but furthermore, the very story of how our people got started is the greatest proof of the truth of our religion. And this second statement, once again, puzzles the king of the Khazars, and he says, what do you mean? And now we're going to get into the Indian parable, which is a very famous analogy that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi constructs in order to illustrate what the foundation of our belief system is. And that's something that we'll discuss in our next talk. But to conclude this idea, I think that one of the beautiful things that we see in the way that Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi has constructed the Sefer, this is one of the most effective uses of the Socratic dialogue system that Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi has put into place into the Kuzari. Here you'll note that the protagonist, the Khazar king, is extremely dismissive of the Jewish attitude, and the rabbi, who has to explain his position, is almost defensive in the sense that he says to him in paragraph 17, he says, "If you give me permission to preface my words, I will gladly explain. I think these introductory remarks are necessary since my words seem a burden to you and are being easily dismissed." And you can almost hear the Khuzari king sigh and say, "Okay, go go ahead and tell me what you think you need to say." The idea here being is that Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi is almost revealing to us a certain attitude towards Judaism that existed in the 12th century throughout the world, both in the Islamic world and the Christian world, and certainly in the philosophical community, that Judaism was a primitive religion. It had nothing to offer to modern man. And that is why Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi puts these words in the mouth of the Khazar king to almost mimic that kind of worldview, this negative, condescending attitude towards Judaism, that Judaism is provincial and is backward and is not keeping with the times. That's the voice that we're hearing, and it's a very deliberate voice that Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi wants to construct for us, because he's about to pounce back and tell us just to the contrary. You think that Judaism is primitive and that's not keeping up with the times. I'm going to demonstrate to you that not only is it not an inferior faith, it is the superior faith. It has truths contained within it that philosophy would pine for if it was able to gain these kinds of truths. And that's the kind of pride that Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi will sort of venahafochu, will actually turn everything on its ear as we get further into the Kuzari.